Soycle.
What if I just, instead of giving out the Talk of Text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time?
Soycle.
844-96 party. What is it?
Soycle.
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin, and happy Friday. And we basically have back-to-back guests all day today, which is going to make for a great show, a great Friday. And I'm not even going to beat around the bush because we only have our first guest for a short period of time. And I want to make sure to get as many questions in as possible. But I'm so excited to have Melissa Temple, who has been probably more in more of the news and national news than you probably ever thought you ever would be. Right, Melissa?
That's for sure. Yes.
Hi. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm especially considering, you know, if I was you, 2 days after what Wednesday probably was, it's just like, I want to hibernate for a while. So we really appreciate you jumping on the phone with us this morning. And so I guess just to start off with, to have a little exercise that I'm sure you've done with your first graders in the past, is there any feeling words you want to identify?
Oh, my God. I don't know if this is a feeling word, but I think I'm kind of in denial and I'm a little shocked about what's happening right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess, I mean, that leads to my kind of next question as far as this, because it's been since March that everything started.
Yeah, it was March 21st is when I tweeted the first time.
And I guess in this, did you always kind of think that there was a chance that you were going to keep teaching? And is this the outcome that you thought was going to happen? Or is it something that is still feels like you said, just surprising?
I'm just good at like burying my feelings. I always thought there was like a little bit of a chance that I was going to keep my job, but in the beginning I definitely didn't think that they were going to take it to this level. I don't even use Twitter. Like, I don't even know how. I had to ask my teenage daughters, like, how do I see when someone mentions my name? Yeah. So I had a Twitter account because during Act 10, I was driving to Madison and like people were at that point, like using Twitter to like post, like, here's where there's free pizza from Ian, you know? So I made an account so that I could communicate with what's happening at the rallies in Madison, you know? And then I just left it for years. So, yeah.
And so I guess that's really interesting because I hadn't even thought about that as far as like when, if you can take me back to when the Rainbow Land and the song and the decision, because that's basically what's come down. I feel like there's conversations that are around the song. And I think the bigger conversation that's happening, not only just in Waukesha School District, but across the state, across the country with LGBTQ policies coming into place. But this is also like a First Amendment rights. What are you allowed to say? What are you not allowed to say on your time as a teacher? And so I guess when you were obviously very frustrated with what happened at school regarding the song, mm-hmm. was the tweet just kind of like a knee-jerk reaction of like, I don't know what else to do? Or like, what was kind of like the initial motivation to like get the information out there?
No, 100%.
Yeah.
It was 100%. Like, I can tell you exactly what happened. The music teacher wanted to collaborate with us this year. He had a music program. He asked us what songs we sang songs in my first grade, you know, and he sang songs in his class. So he was like, hey, it probably doesn't look good if you guys are singing songs and I'm singing songs and like I'm not involved, you know. Mm-hmm. But the music program was 100% his thing, you know? And so when he came up with the song and everything, and we thought it was awesome. But then when he told us it wasn't allowed, I said, this is crazy. Like, this policy on the controversial content has gone to this next level. And, like, this is so ridiculous. Like, I knew people were going to be interested to hear how the, you know, the extent of how they were applying this policy. And so I said to the music teacher, I was like, I'm telling Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton on them because I'm a first grade teacher and that's what I do. I tell on people. And so I just said, like, look at this is so ridiculous, you know? And that was one of the things that was really frustrating is that during the hearing the day before yesterday, they kept saying, like, why did you make your complaint? You made a complaint. I'm like, no, I'm not making a complaint. I'm telling people things that have happened on my personal time. You know, it was like 7 p.m. at night. None of the tweets that I made were during the school day. None of the comments. I have 24 six-year-olds in a classroom. Tell me when I'm going to go look at my Twitter account.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even check my work email during the day. You know, like, you need to call my room if you want to tell me. So I don't even look at my text messages. Like, my friends are like, okay, she's gone, you know, from 8 to 4. Don't expect to, like, make any plans until after the kids leave. So it was just crazy that they tried to allege that I was speaking on my own, you know, during my work time or as part of my official duties and all that stuff.
And so I guess we're talking to Melissa Temple, who is, I guess, I hate to put it in such a blunt term, but a former Waukesha teacher.
Okay.
My
email account and my...
Yeah. I think the thing, because I do want to get back for people to understand what the controversial content policy is, but I think I also want to highlight for people who may, and I highlighted this because I did make a video, I made a couple videos about this at Journal Sentinel, but I just want to highlight for people who may have not understood your background as a teacher. You've been teaching for 23 years. You're a national board certified teacher. Mm-hmm. You were rated Distinguished Educator by your administrators for 3 years in a row. You were named Outstanding Educator by Wisconsin Badgers Athletics and Wisconsin Education Association for Counsel. You're a dual language, and you've never, prior to this, had any disciplinary action in your entire career. Is all of that accurate?
It's 100% accurate.
And so...
Yeah. I also won a bunch of other awards that I didn't... talk about it.
You didn't talk about. So you are good at this.
Controversial.
Yes.
Inclusive. What?
But I said, so you were, so it's suffice to say that you were good at your job. And simultaneously,
thank you.
It is. Tell us a little bit more about the controversy content policy. And that is kind of the umbrella of what was decided because what made the decision about Rainbowland.
Well, we still don't have the facts about exactly if the controversial issue policy applied to Rainbowland, but
okay,
that is definitely what I thought was happening when I made the tweet.
Okay.
We were told, like, starting way back 2 years ago, we were told we can't have any signs that could be seen as controversial in our classrooms. So it was Black Lives Matter. I believe that was right after George Floyd was murdered. And, you know, we couldn't have Black Lives Matter. We couldn't have thin blue line signs, which I was like, okay, you know, I don't agree with that. But, like, I understand why that could be seen as political to, you know, others.
Mm-hmm.
And then, though, the part that really got me tripped up when we got that notice was that they also said we can't have a sign that says anti-racist classroom, which I just... It, like, blew my mind to the point where I was like, I don't know if I can work for a place that says I can't say I identify as a woman of color. I'm half Korean, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, in your own workplace, you're not allowed to say that, like, you're against racism. It was just super weird to me. And that's when I started connecting with the Parent Alliance because I was like, who's fighting this? You know, this is just the most ludicrous. But then they just kept going with it. And so then eventually they did change the policies to say that you can't have anything in the classroom that's controversial. You can't have a sign that has a rainbow on it if it says all are welcome here. You can't have safe space stickers that are historically known as a place to, you know, make everyone feel inclusive and a way to marker yourself as somebody who is compassionate and understanding towards different marginalized groups, you know, including the LGBTQ community. So it just kind of spiraled out of control. And that's where that's why when we got to the Rainbow Land thing, I was like, people are going to be really interested to know what's going on here.
Well, and that's the thing that I think it comes down to there was either like the argument that you should have kept it in-house and raised your concerns to the school and to your principal and to the board and everything like that. But I kind of, on your behalf, I was trying not to speak for you, but as we were talking about this yesterday, it seems like it snowballed. And so it wasn't just the one incident of Rainbow Land. It was kind of what you just said. It was like thing after thing after thing where it starts to feel like more people need to know that this is happening. Is that a correct kind of assessment of how it escalated?
Exactly. I mean, that's my goal with all of this is to help people understand that this isn't just happening in Florida or like Georgia or Texas. Like this is happening here in Wisconsin. And yeah, it's Waukesha. And yeah, Waukesha has a reputation, right? But there are also really awesome people in Waukesha that don't want this to happen. There's also all these little districts that you see around Waukesha that are now doing these copycat policies. And I'm sure you've seen some of them. And it's just horrific. Like, you know, bathroom policies, policies about what sports you can play. They're removing signs that promote inclusivity in some districts. And that's all happened in the past couple months since I was put on leave. So it's quickly, you know, moving in the wrong direction. And I think people oftentimes say, oh, well, yeah, of course that's happening. You know, Florida man, of course, you know, but it's not like that anymore. It's really, you know, coming to a really disturbing and scary level.
And that's what we were talking
about. Like right before the...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, right before I was put on leave, we were also told we can't use student names or pronouns unless they're the same as the ones listed on their official documents. And that there was never any communication to parents that one day your child could be called their preferred name and the next day they were going to be back to using their dead name. They never even told parents that. And when I brought it to the attention of the superintendent, he said, well, we gave him a copy of the policy. I'm like, so you expect parents to like read through this mumbo jumbo, you know, academic policy stuff? You need to give them a heads up and let them know what's happening. This is damaging to our kids.
Absolutely. Melissa, can you stick around for another segment?
Sure. But I want to give a shout out to my student Audrey because she bought me 2 donuts.
Good job, Audrey. All right, we got to take a break. Melissa Temple will still be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We are in the
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
Welcome back Rainbow. To As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry with Jane Vatnair on the board. And we were talking to former Waukesha teacher Melissa Temple, kind of debriefing everything that has been happening and knowing that the story's not over. But Melissa, we had one question come in through the text line. How much has the union been able to be involved and help as you've advocated for yourself throughout this process?
That's a good question. I'm a proud union member. I chose to not use the union lawyer just because I wanted to make sure I was using a lawyer that was there for me personally, 100%. Mm-hmm. But they've been really supportive, and I've talked with the union president and other union, you know, officials from WEAC quite a bit during this process, and they've been working with my legal team, so they've definitely been involved and supportive.
Got it.
I also was
that's it. Well, that's the thing. I'm sure now it's interesting of like the going from being teacher to now having to like navigate a legal system of like, which courts does this go into? Like things you can say, things you cannot say, which lawyers to use and all like the complications that this has now, I'm sure, escalated to and how exhausting it probably is. But I guess, so going back to what you said, as far as when you first sent out the tweet, not knowing where it was going to lead, not knowing it was going to create kind of a life of its own. I mean, truly, I joked yesterday that I'm not sure a Wisconsin school district has gotten as much national attention since the last time Waukesha got national attention in 2021 with the universal free school lunch problem. But once it did start to get a life of its own, you probably, I assume at that point you started to have choices as far as like, do I want to continue down this road and stick to my guns, or do I want to back off? Mm-hmm. And like, what was that calculus like for you to kind of make, like, where did you like to keep going and keep like stick to your guns?
Yeah. You know, I can answer that this way. My friends, when they started seeing like that I was picking up like, or that my tweet had picked up popularity, and they were, you know, they put me on leave and stuff. And my friends were like, did they know who they're messing with? Like, do they know who this person is? Because I'm not going to stop. Like, I'm doing this for the good of humanity. This isn't for me. And that sounds like so gross when I say it out loud, but like, this isn't about me. And this isn't about just the kids in my class or the community. This is about everybody. And like, these are things that are important to people. And I'm not going to just stop talking about it because somebody said that, you know, I wasn't supposed to tweet. Like, I knew that, first of all, like, I was well within my right as a private citizen to tweet about my thoughts while I was on my own time at my home. You know, nothing that happened during my work day. If you remember, you asked me to be on the show, and I was like, no, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't, because I'm going to be at work.
Yeah.
Like,
I
turned down interviews. I know, I've been a teacher for so long. Like, teachers know, like, you don't post pictures of your students. You don't go on Facebook and post during the day. Like, to me, I mean, maybe I'm old school, right? Like, because I started teaching before Facebook was invented. So like, so I just like knew that was like how my whole career had been. So it wasn't hard for me to keep those things separate, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I just, yeah. But I also feel like, the attention that this was getting, even though it was so ridiculous, like that I was on leave and people thought it was about this song, it was really about the larger picture and the controversial content policy and the other policies that they were passing through. And I'm not going to turn down an opportunity to help people understand like what we need to do for our kids and for our fellow humanity. It sounds so weird when I say it like that. I don't want to be preachy or whatever, but it's just like, that's how I feel, you know? I don't know. And that's why it's been so frustrating, because it's like, I understand why teachers don't speak out, right? Like, teachers are, look at what happened to me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you were made an example of, right?
It's because I tweeted. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But what about all the administrators and all the people who work in schools who know that, like, we have college courses about equity and about inclusiveness and how to make families feel welcome, and we're doing the exact opposite of that, and not just in Waukesha, but like so many places. And how are any of us sleeping at night knowing that people are telling us that that's okay, and they're not only telling us but like making policies about it to say like you cannot have a safe space sticker? Like, it's the most ridiculous thing. And so many people, even teachers, don't know that that's happening. Because, you know, you're kind of in you're in your classroom during the day, and you're not necessarily looking at what's happening in other school districts when you're on your off time, because you kind of just assume it's all the same everywhere. So I've talked to teachers even around, you know, Milwaukee County that are like, what? That's happening? Or that happened to you? So, yeah.
Well, I will say, no. The impassion, like, but I think that's the thing. It's like the passion is obviously there. And because the test for any of us so often is, do you see through what you think is right or not? Right. Like this, like, I feel like what you've gone through, even for people who don't necessarily agree with you or think she could have handled it a different way, like, ultimately, I feel like you are the bravery you showed. And like, you were the definition of what good trouble is, right? Like, you sacrificed a career that you love, that you were incredibly good at, to stand up for what's right. And I'm sure this is not the end of your story. I'm sure this is not the end of your teaching career. But you've been an inspiration to many people to stand up for what we think, I think many of us think, is the right side of history. And so I thank you for that. And I thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate getting the chance to talk to you.
Thank you. If it can help other people understand that, like, you don't want to live, like, no regrets, right?
Melissa Temple, thank you so much for being with us today. Go get some rest. Go binge some Netflix and eat some pizza and eat those donuts. All right. Well, when we come back, Phil Nee from WRCO and WRCE is here for our Civic Media Crossover Friday. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Did they ever win? Oh, Wisconsin, do you ever
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And it's Friday, so we are doing our crossover civic media host special roundup of the week. And this week, we are joined by Phil Nee, unofficial voice of WRCO and WRCE. He is the branch manager, longtime member of that radio station. You start at 5 a.m. in the morning every morning. You do local newscasts. You do a Saturday show. I asked Todd, I was like, when does Phil see his family?
You know, I love it. I never work a day in my life, you know, and then I also have ibuprofen right here on my desk too. So that helps sometimes.
That helps for sure. And so when can people, so it starts, the morning show starts at 5 a.m. or is sun, WRC and the sunrise or what, which one starts at 5?
We start at 5 a.m. on both right now. I think that might be changing in a few weeks. But anyway, WRCO, WRCE, it's the Light in the Milk House show that I start right away in the morning because I grew up on a farm and looking out the farmhouse to the barn, that would be the first light on in the barn would be the milk house. And then I knew it was time to get up. And so that's how that started. But anyway, then we do Sunrise from the Center for a couple of hours. And then I'm on it Saturday nights doing a classic rock show. But that's my hobby. I've collected vinyl records all my life. I have probably 5,000 albums and probably 10,000 45s. I've been collecting for 50 some years. So I get a chance to spin those on Saturday nights.
How do you have them organized? How do you know where to look for and where to find them?
Don't ask my wife. She calls it my hoarding room. But
10,000. That is impressive.
Yeah.
That is impressive.
Right. Yeah, it's a sickness, but I love collecting vinyl. It brings me a lot of joy.
That's awesome. Well, next year for Independent Record Store Day, do you have a good independent record store over there in Richland Center?
We do. Mastodon Records. They sell only vinyl records. But I've been out in Madison, Wisconsin, and doing some other things during Record Store Day. And Black Friday, too, they have a Record Store Day. Twice a year they do that and sell some exclusive vinyl.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, let's jump right into it. One of the things that we do when we have our crossover is ask our guests what the best, the worst, and the weirdest stories of the week were in their opinion. So, Phil, let's start with what was the best story you heard this week?
Well, the best story, I have to go locally.
Because, I love it. Let's go local.
Okay. So this is local from Richland Center, and I just had her on my show last hour. Ms. Pam Kintz has just retired from the Richland School District after 50 years of directing the choirs. She's been the choral director in the district for 50 years. And so, yeah, it's a big loss for the district, but had her on and had all of her recollections. But you talk about, she started in 1973. So, you know, bell bottoms and the Vietnam War and all the way through the 80s and, you know, mullets and, you know, all the styles up to today. It's just unbelievable. The gift that she's given to our community.
That is, I can't have imagined doing something for 5 years. I'm not sure I've done anything consistently for 5 years, let alone 50. That is incredible.
I know it. And I heard the first half of your show with a teacher. And you think about a teacher starting today and the likelihood of them lasting. I don't even know what the lifespan is for a teacher in their profession. But think about somebody starting today and teaching or coaching for 50 years.
And that's what I was thinking about is just how much things have changed as far as, because we have Jack and Merrimack, who I think was similar for like 40 years of teacher and people who dedicate. And I just also think about how many different students you saw over that period. Right. Like not only just the eras and the clothes and the times changed and the policies changed, but also just like the amount of faces, even in a smaller district like Richland Center, of, and I'm sure she probably still knows everybody's name.
She said that after 50 years, it's kind of tough because obviously kids change, you know, that she has them in a freshman year, you know, they're going to look different when they're 50 years old, probably. But, but it's amazing.
That is amazing. All right. Well, then moving on to the downer topic, but what was the worst topic? What was the worst story that you heard this week?
Well, this one, I don't know how bad this is, but and I'm a movie buff as well, but I can't believe that there's a Mission Impossible 7. So Dead Reckoning Part 1 is in theaters now, Tom Cruise, and you know, and I'm just not a fan of that movie franchise. Oh, okay. So I saw this and I'm like, is it the 7th already, and who's still going to that?
Well, supposedly it's going to get a lot. There's suspicions that it's going to be the number one, even more than Oppenheimer, even more than Barbie,
really?
That it will be the
right.
number one box office, because people just love, there's a reason they make
Tom
seven
Cruise.
Of them, just like there's 10 Fast and Furious.
I know it. Now, Top Gun last year was the movie of the summer, and I thought that was an outstanding movie. I really did, you know, but I've just kind of lost interest now at 7.
I don't even think I've seen more than, I may have seen the first one. I'm not sure I've seen many of the Mission Impossibles.
I'm with you. I think I only saw the first one. The only reason I can think to go now is to check out Tom Cruise's latest plastic surgery. There's been a little.
He does a lot of his stunts, though, right?
Well, there's
he
been,
does,
a, but there's
he
been
does
a little tweaking. There's some tweaking that's been going on there. I'm just saying.
So you're not going to see Mission Impossible 7
no.
or whatever it is. Are you going to see the Barbie movie?
Now, my question, I don't know a lot about it. Is it funny?
Yes.
I mean, are they doing it like tongue-in-cheek?
Yes.
Okay, then I probably will, because I really like Margot Robbie. I've liked some of the films that she's in. I loved her in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. She played Sharon Tate
mm-hmm.
in that movie. I thought she just did a remarkable job. So
I feel like
I think I might go see that.
She's always really good. Ryan Gosling's always really good. Greta Gerwig, who's the one who wrote and directed it, she's just been such a... So she did Little Women that came out 2019,
okay.
And her big breakout one was Lady Bird. Prior to that, that was nominated for an Oscar. So she's just a very, very smart writer, a very smart director. And like, I think what I've heard so far from the reviews of Barbie is that it is everything you want it to be. It is both making like it's celebrating all of the fun things about Barbie while also very cleverly critiquing some of the things that Barbie gave us as far as unrealistic expectations.
There you go. and feet with a built-in arch.
Yes, feet that don't move. So I'm very excited about that. And then the other big one, are you going to go see Oppenheimer?
I would really like to, because those are my favorite kind of movies.
Okay.
And maybe that's because of my age. I don't get into superheroes and action figures, but I love stories about real people and based on true stories.
Yeah, I think, and it's Christopher Nolan, who is a very, very good director. And so that is,
there you go.
That is very exciting. All right. So best is The Music Teacher. Worst is Mission Impossible. So I love that all the things that could be like labeled as the worst story for this week, you're like, let's go with Tom Cruise.
I know. And it's probably controversial too, because, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to, it's probably going to be number one. So whatever. My weirdest story, I don't know if you saw this or not, but the Burger King menu item offered in Thailand, it's going viral now, but it's called the Real Cheeseburger. It features 20 slices of American cheese and no meat.
Isn't that just a grilled cheese?
I don't even know if they grill it. I saw a picture of it. It just looks like 20 slices of cheese on bread.
And they're calling it the Real Cheeseburger.
The Real Cheeseburger. Yeah, it doesn't have meat either. So
isn't that just,
I don't know,
a cheese sandwich?
Exactly. But overload.
Big time. Wow, 20 slices.
And this is Wisconsin, but I don't think it's real cheese. It looks like...
Is it a cheese product, like Kraft Singles?
It looks... Well, it's kind of yellowish-orange, I guess, but...
Wow. I feel like I saw this headline, but I didn't read the full article to see that it is 20 slices of cheese.
Yes, it is.
This is in Japan or Korea, did you say?
This is in Thailand.
Thailand, okay.
Yep. So it sells for... $3.10, it says. So that's not bad, I guess, in American dollars. But if you put beef on it, it's $10.90. Okay, so I guess you do have the option to put meat on it.
Okay.
Oh, it just looks bad.
It just looks bad?
It just looks bad.
Oh, you got a picture of it? Okay.
It's a sesame bun with a bunch of slices of cheese that aren't melted or anything.
And the thing that's always funny to me, because it's still Burger King, so it's an international corporation that I'm sure did some like market testing before they rolled out this new product. And so like, is this, although Starbucks did give us like poop coffee by putting oil in it and gave everyone diarrhea and they thought people wanted that. So who knows? Maybe they do introduce things into the market that's like, no one wanted this.
This would be the opposite of poop coffee, though.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. Well, it's funny. Have you got to try? Have you gotten to ever have fast food in different countries? Have either of you ever, like, when you've gone abroad, been like, I'm still going to go to McDonald's or I'm still going to go to any of these like places that you recognize?
In France, I think I went to McDonald's at the airport.
Just because
it was convenient.
Convenient. Did they have a baguette instead of a bun?
I believe they did.
Isn't that interesting?
I think they did. Interesting.
I think they did, yeah.
Just but little tweaks.
Little tweaks as far as cultural differences. I'm not sure the real cheeseburger would do well here.
Well, and I don't even think it's doing that well in Thailand, because apparently, from what I could find, it's only going to be on the menu until July 20th, so don't wait.
Oh, limited time.
Limited time. Grab it now.
It also feels like, I don't know enough about Thailand's climate, but I would think that they're close enough to the equator that it's just kind of always hot there. And so I'm just trying to think of like a like room temperature cheese sandwich while it's like sweating outside in the middle of like Thailand. It's like, that sounds very appealing.
A startup entrepreneur who spends his time between Bangkok and Kuala Lumpur told the New York Times, it is literally 20 slices of American cheese in a bun. The cheese is not melted. The bun is not even warmed. His wife is an anesthesiologist. She gave me a 5-minute lecture on why this is bad for me.
It sounds like airplane food. Doesn't it sound like a pre-wrapped like cheese sandwich you would get in like coach on an airplane
in a box or pre-wrapped
in like some kind of plastic thing that you have to unwrap, and it's like, nothing's been warmed. It's like not sticking together whatsoever. It's just like pieces that you have to like, all right, and then this is what we're going to eat because this is a 10-hour flight. Great.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Well, what else is going on? When we come back from our next break, which we still have a couple minutes, we're going to do our headline quiz for the week. But what else is going on over in Richland Center that we should know about?
Oh, not too much. We have a little community called Boaz that's having its fun days this weekend, and they have some very unique things going on there, like pig poop bingo.
Oh,
yes.
How does that work?
They've done this with cows too, haven't they?
Well, they've done it with cows. Yeah. They've done it with cows. So, it's like a board with numbers on it, and they have a pig walk out there, and people bet on what number the pig is going to leave its exhaust.
Okay.
And so.
And this is popular. People really get into this.
Well, I don't know. It's fun days, so it must be fun, I guess. But yes. So unique local celebration there. Somebody told me though, with pigs, normally they only go like in the north corner. So try to pick a number toward the north is what they said.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Oh, that's fascinating.
But what's the origin of fun days?
I really don't know. I think this is about 50 years they have it, but it's mostly around softball tournaments and chicken barbecues and things like that.
All right.
So that's one of the things we have going on exciting this weekend in the community.
Nice. I was over in your guys' neck of the woods. I was at Governor Dodge last weekend, and so it is. It is beautiful over by you guys. It is hard to deny the trees and the hills and how pretty it is in southwest Wisconsin. And so we're going to take a break. When we come back, Phil Nee from WRCO and WRCE will still be here for our crossover civic media host Fridays. And see if you can play along and see how many questions you get right for our headline quiz. No pressure, Phil.
This week's actually a little hard.
I didn't do as well as I thought I would. But all right, stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I was 13, I'd stay up till 3 a.m. singing to no one, you were listening. Oh, Wisconsin, you were always listening.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Phil Nee for our Civic Media Crossover Fridays, or whatever we call this segment.
That's
where
we're calling it today.
Where we invite other Civic Media hosts and to come on and just chit-chat and round out the week with us. And we ask their best, worst, and weirdest, and then we play a little bit of a headline game. And this week, Phil Nee, longtime employee, branch manager, unofficial voice of WRCO and WRCE over in Richland Center. So happy to have you here today. I know you said you were a little nervous about this quiz, but I don't think you should be.
I am a little nervous, but again, thank you for having me on. It's an honor to be on with your show.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
No, it's so fun. I mean, we've gotten to meet a couple times in person between the Christmas party and when we were in training in Madison.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, as much as we can, since we're all spread out across the state.
And we're not able to travel yet.
And we're not able to travel as much. Well, we can travel. No one's keeping us from travel. It's just we can't necessarily plop down and do our show
right from
everyone's station without some jiggering of wires and such. But it's fun to be able to collaborate when we can.
Most definitely. Thank you.
All right. Well, since you are the guest, you get to decide if you want. There's six questions. Each of you answers three, and then that's our multiple choice. And then the last seventh question, whoever answers first gets it right. You're the guest, so you get to decide if you want to go first or second.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I think I'll go second.
Okay.
All right.
Jane, the first question. This week was harder. I'm going to give you a little heads up.
All right.
Which product in short supply is reselling on Amazon and eBay for up to 10x the original price?
Wow.
A, Adderall. B, Ben & Jerry's. C, Crisco. D, Sriracha.
Oh, Sriracha.
You got it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Wei Fong Sriracha is selling for up to 10x its original price on Amazon and eBay right now, because I guess there's a shortage?
Apparently so. I just saw this the other day. They're having some supply issues. I mean, I use a little sriracha. I have some, but it's not a daily condiment, is it?
I know some people who use it like ketchup.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yeah, who put it in, like, almost everything.
Whoa. Wow.
It's one of those things that sits in the refrigerator forever, though, it seems like, at least in my case.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure it's something that, like, goes bad. But
no.
There's probably still enough preservatives in that thing to last a nuclear war. All right. Number two, Phil Nee. Prime, an energy drink from YouTubers Logan Paul and KSI, is under congressional scrutiny over its caffeine levels. In terms of Coke cans, how much caffeine does a single 12-ounce bottle of Prime have? Two Coke cans, four Coke cans, six Coke cans, or 12 Coke cans?
Ooh, boy, oh boy. I'm going with the third one.
You got it right. Six Coke cans.
Wow.
That is a lot of caffeine.
That's a lot of caffeine.
Didn't we already try this with like Four Loko? And didn't they already ban Four Loko of like this much caffeine? I guess Four Loko had booze in it too. So that was really the combo. They were like, no, you guys can't do this anymore.
Man, if I did that, I'd be out climbing the, the tower, probably up and swinging from the lights or
absolutely.
Something.
All right. We got a Wisconsin question for Jane. Which iconic cooking show is shooting its next season in Wisconsin later this year?
Top Chef.
Okay. Didn't even have to read the options.
Wow.
People are very
well
excited.
Played.
People are very, yeah. I've never, you know, I've never watched Top Chef.
I haven't either.
Are you a cooking show fan, Filney?
No, not really. No.
Yeah.
SpaghettiOs for me, usually. That's about it. that's the extent of my cooking. So.
That's the extent. I'm sure it's not the extent of your wife's cooking.
No. She's better than that.
Yeah. all right. So, Phil, another Wisconsin question. In your neck of the woods, your congressional district.
Ooh.
This
Ooh.
Week, a Democratic candidate announced she will be challenging Derek Van Orden for the 3rd congressional district. And two more names have been thrown out as other potential candidates. Which woman has not announced or been floated as a possibility?
Okay.
Is it this? So you're guessing who hasn't?
Who has not been?
Who has not been? Is it Missy Hughes, Katrina Shanklin, Rebecca Cook, Deb McGrath?
The first one.
Actually, that's wrong. Missy Hughes has been as of yesterday.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So Rebecca Cook has the one who has actually announced. She ran in 2022, lost in the primary. But as of yesterday, Journal Sentinel ran an article saying that Representative Katrina Shanklin up in near Stevens Point is considering a run, and CEO of WEDC Missy Hughes is also considering a run. And so.
Okay.
Girl power.
Yeah, let's go.
Jane takes the lead.
I've talked to all three of those women, and they're all delightful.
Yes.
So we'll see. All right. Back to Jane. Which of the following is not a feature on Royal Caribbean's new mega ship, the Icon of the Seas?
That thing is terrifying.
It's terrifying. It's a monstrosity.
It's terrifying.
Is it an ice rink, open air Central Park, a cable car, or a 55-foot waterfall?
Give me my choices again.
So what's not on this monstrosity of a cruise
of a ship?
Is it an ice rink, an open-air central park, a cable car, or a 55-foot waterfall?
Boy, that's tough, but I'm going to go with the open-air Central Park.
That is incorrect. The cable car.
That was my original thought, but you know, that thing is so enormous.
That who knows, maybe they have a trolley on it?
You're going to need one to get to the other side of the ship. It's huge.
All right. You have a chance to tie it up, Phil. We got 2 minutes left, so I'm going to go fast. Fill in the blank.
Pressure's on.
The Toronto Zoo has asked visitors to stop blank when visiting the gorilla enclosure. Is it A, showing the gorillas videos on their phone? B, doing TikTok dances. C, making R-rated hand gestures. Or D, wearing gorilla masks.
Videos on the phone.
Ding, 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 ding.
Showing videos. Yep.
That is true.
Woo-hoo.
So, yeah, I guess it's just like videos on your phone for too much for humans. A little too much for gorillas.
They don't
too,
want to
apparently.
See it either.
I know.
They don't
I know,
care.
I read that, and I guess gorillas are in screen time too. So the more you show them, the more they want.
Which makes sense. You know, the same kind of like
sure.
dopamine spikes and addiction centers in our brain. I don't know. All right, we got to go fast. But so now,
right.
whoever answers this one first wins because you guys are tied right now.
All
so
right.
After talking about a $7 billion budget for what feels like years, after Evers signed our current budget, what is the projected surplus we get to talk about for the next 2 years?
Oh, man.
You're looking for a dollar amount.
$4 billion.
Got it.
Ding,
she
ding,
got,
ding,
it.
Ding,
she
ding.
Got it. Maybe I worded it weird, but yeah. So now with...
how much is left?
How much is left because of the tax, not doing the tax cuts and not spending on other projects? So we still have a $4 billion tax.
Oof.
Or $4 billion surplus in the general fund. So, all right. Well, we're running up against a break. Filney, this was super fun. Can't wait to have
it
you
was
back
fun.
Again. And have fun.
Anytime.
Have a great weekend.
I will. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to be on.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to take a break.
Yeah. Congratulations, Jane.
Thanks so much, Phil.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute for the top of the hour news. This is As Goes Wisconsin.